Welcome, everyone, to the Apocalary Podcast. I'm Steve. He is
Dr. Van Beek.
Yeah.
Hey, nice and simple.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not nice and simple.
Yeah. The title. I'd go with understated.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
My good friend,
Captain Understatement.
Hello, Captain Understatement.
That's Bob Newhart, isn't it?
I believe so. Yeah. We're going to talk about Ezra 9 is what I meant to say. Anything you want to give us a preamble, or should we just jump right in?
No, this is going to be this is an odd little piece where he just picks up the whole flow of the Old Testament and gives it to us. And at some point, it sounds very much like other prophets, and also some of the New Testament stuff, some of the preaching of Peter. It sounds a little bit like some of Peter's preaching.
Oh, okay. In the
Book of Acts. Awesome. It's kind of neat that way. It is neat, and it's not uncommon to the Jewish people. And he's gonna hit it hard. But he starts off with intermarriage. So I probably should say, the rules about intermarriage, we have to realize, are specific. I almost want to say colonial rules, and that's completely the wrong word. They're not cultural rules, but they're specific community rules. There, I came up with the word eventually.
There you go.
They're specific community rules for the Jewish people. So they don't go beyond Judaism, and they don't extend to Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know Christians that talk a lot about intermarriage, and there are reasons to not intermarry, and the reason would be that you just have to get used to some whole other set of rules about how to live, which everybody does when they get married.
Yeah,
but the further you get away from the stuff you grew up with, the more things that you have to adjust to.
Right,
which I think can be fantastic.
Yeah.
But the Jewish people weren't supposed to marry non-Jewish people.
Hmm.
But that changes with Christianity. So I just think that's important to know, because there'll be, you know, none of our listeners probably, but there'll be people who go, oh, this is so racist and this is so wrong. But this was a community rule of this group of people.
Yeah, very specific. Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, folks, let's just jump right in. Chapter 9, we're going to start in verse 1, and we'll kind of work through this paragraph by paragraph. After all these things have been done, the leaders came to me and said, "The people of Israel, including the priests and the Levites, have not kept themselves separate from the neighboring peoples with their detestable practices, like those of the Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites," I always want to call them parasites, "the Jebusites, Ammonites," who were well known. Oh, that's Samsonites. Sorry, I'm thinking of something different.
they made the best luggage.
Yeah, didn't they? "The Ammonites, Moabites, Egyptians, and Amorites. They have taken some of their daughters as wives for themselves and their sons, and have mingled the holy race with the peoples around them. And the leaders and the officials have led the way in this unfaithfulness."
Yeah. And remember that one guy we listened to really felt like Ezra was going too far here, or the author of Ezra. But it doesn't. They don't say it like it's too far. They say it like this is quite appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
So,
all right, verse.
So their unfaithfulness is a Jewish community rule.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, no, not unfaithfulness. Which is quite acceptable today, but it was really just going out with other people. And the Jewish people, just to keep going on this topic, they had all kinds of rules. Like, you do not deal with your neighboring people in wet goods. You could in dry goods, but not wet goods. And the feeling was that would be gross. There's that feeling of grossness when it comes to that. And actually, when you get to the book of Acts, when he's saying we should involve ourselves with Gentiles, he reiterates some of those kinds of things a little bit, which is kind of interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay,
verse 3, folks. "When I heard this, I tore my tunic and cloak and pulled hair from my head and beard and sat down appalled. I'm never going to do that if you say something shocking to me, by the way.
Yes. Then I would shock you just to watch you pull the hair out of your
head. That's right. That's right. That's right. Then everyone who trembled at the words of the God of Israel gathered around me because of this unfaithfulness of the exiles. I sat there appalled until the evening sacrifice. Then at the evening sacrifice, I rose from my self-abasement. One of my other favorite words.
Yes.
With my tunic and cloak torn, and fell on my knees with my hands spread out to the Lord God and prayed. I am too ashamed and disgraced, my God, to lift up my face to you, because our sins are higher than our heads and our guilt has reached to the heavens. From the days of our ancestors until now, our guilt has been great. Because of our sins, we and our kings and our priests have been subject to the sword and captivity, to pilgrimage and humiliation at the hand of foreign kings.
And this is a
as
very
it is today.
Old, yeah, this is a very Old Testament thing, isn't it? Because of our sin, God has allowed us to be hurt by others, to be put to the sword. And what he's going to do pretty soon is he's going to go through the Old Testament and show how they kept falling away from God. Which is the preaching all the way through.
Yep. Mm. Okay, verse 8 now, folks. But now, for a brief moment, the Lord our God has been gracious in leaving us a remnant and giving us a firm place in his sanctuary. And so our God gives light to our eyes and a little relief in our bondage. Though we are slaves, our God has not forsaken us in our bondage. He has shown us kindness in the sight of the kings of Persia. He has granted us new life to rebuild the house of our God and repair its ruins. He has given us a wall of protection in Judah and Jerusalem.
Right. So even though they've come back under Zerubbabel and then under Ezra and now Nehemiah again, even though they've been able to rebuild, they're still very much aware that they're not their own country. They're not their own people. They are still Persians, you know. Even though he's actually given them quite a bit of religious freedom, and that's what he says, right? He says that God seems to have given us a little bit. So maybe if we could pull ourselves together, God would give us a little bit more. We don't do that in the New Testament. We don't say, you know, God's gonna be generous to us because if we're good guys. But they did in the Old Testament. And actually Luke and them actually do talk about the need for righteousness, where Paul seems to constantly argue, you know, that this whole thing is by grace. The other New Testament writers show the other side of it. James does, right? Yeah. And Luke does, and the Gospels do as well. So it's kind of interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, picking it up at verse 10 now, folks. But now, our God, what can we say after this? For we have forsaken the commands you gave through your servants, the prophets, when you said, the land you are entering to possess is a land polluted by corruption of its peoples, by the corruption of its peoples. By their detestable practices, they have filled it with their impurity from one end to the other. Therefore, do not give your daughters in marriage to their sons or take their daughters for your sons. Do not seek a treaty of friendship with them at any time, that you may be strong and eat the good things of the land and leave it to your children as an everlasting inheritance.
Yeah, this stuff isn't going to fly in modern Canada.
Nope.
Or postmodern Canada, if we want to say that. It's really interesting that way, isn't it? He's just telling them. He said the people of this land are corrupt, and you can't be a part of that corruption. I think I have to just leave it at that.
Yeah. It's what do they call that? Is that sort of the Benedictine option that they've talked about? Like that the Christian culture just kind of, you know, circles the wagons and says, okay, we'll just ride this out until this period of.
Yeah, and they talk about the difference between in the New Testament, they talk about the difference between license and asceticism, legalism and asceticism. Mm. So on the one hand, the feeling is we're Christians, we can do anything we want.
Right.
And on the other hand, they're we're Christians, we need to stay completely away from the world.
Yeah.
Now Paul says something intriguing because he says all things are legal, just not all things are expedient. Not they won't get you to your goal.
Yeah.
He says, yeah, you can do what you want, but it won't get you to where you need to go.
Yeah.
So it's an intriguing twist on license.
It's Paul leaving a foot in the door, right?
Yeah. Basically, you can do what you want. Well, you're going to go to hell for it, but you can do what you want.
Yeah.
I don't think he's saying that, though. I think he's saying like because of the love of God, we need to live a different way is what I'm actually
saying. That's right. Yeah. No, it's what the frog says. No.
The frog did it.
But so true, right? Like Paul kind of keeps coming back to that grace message. Like, you know, don't. Obviously go back to God's grace because of the love you have for God. You need to go here, but
these guys are so clear too, about you need to live properly before God.
Okay. Verse 13, what has happened to us is a result of our evil deeds and our great guilt. And yet our God, you have punished us less than our sins have deserved. And have given us a remnant like this. Shall we then break your commands again and intermarry with the peoples who commit such detestable practices? Would you not be angry enough with us to destroy us, leaving us no remnant or survivor? Lord, the God of Israel, you are righteous. We are left this day as a remnant. Here we are before you in our guilt. Though it is not because one of us can stand in your presence.
Yeah, and that's nice. That's basically saying, you know, we're a pretty guilty bunch. But I thought this chapter was quite a bit longer. Are we at the end of the chapter?
We are, sir.
Oh, can we go over to 10?
Sure. Maybe I say that in jest. No, I don't say that in jest.
Yeah. For some reason, I thought he. Oh, this is 10 is the confession of sin. And this is where he just starts going through the Old Testament. But I think we can leave that till next week. Okay. And if we so choose. And for this week, we'll just say he's trying to bring them back to God. And then next week, he's going to actually go through all of the stuff that God did in the Old Testament.
Yeah. It's kind of, and it's interesting to see already the parallels between an Old Testament repentance and a New Testament repentance too, right? Just like, Lord, we are nothing before you. You are our God. And you see the same thing in the New Testament. Lord, we're nothing before you. We lean on your grace. This is the only reason we exist.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I guess it was 10. Yeah. And he's going to show how the people have constantly turned away from God. Every time God made life easy for them, they turned away from him. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons there's a whole brand of Christians that say, we don't do well when life is good. We do better when life is hard and we are poor and we are oppressed than when life is good. And I don't think that's necessarily true, even though every example seems to point to it. I don't want to say that it's true, Steve.
Yeah, we can't find a single reason or case where this isn't true, but it maybe isn't.
Yeah, it's not true, even though everything that we ever read says it is. It's still, you know, I still want to be rich and show that I can be pure even at Club Med, you know.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, my friend, that was fantastic. Thanks so much for doing this for us. Folks, I hope you enjoyed that, taking a look at Ezra 9 and just seeing how God is calling the people to be holy and that he's a just God, and we need to respond to that. Next week, like Larry foreshadowed, we'll do Ezra 10, and we'll be back again with you then. But until then, I was Steve, he was Larry. This was the Apocalypse Podcast.